Grace be yours and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon this morning is our second lesson. From Paul's second letter to the 2 Corinthians, we read there these words. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed, I always much better appreciated it when my father acted as a minister of the Spirit rather than a minister of the letter. Make no mistake, he used both because both were needed. He struggled, as all fathers and mothers do, to be competent in the service of God of raising his children. Sometimes my father served me with the letter of the law. He told me what his will was. He commanded me to obey that law. And there was the threat of punishment and punishment if I disobeyed that law. But there were times also when my father acted as a servant of the Spirit who gives life. He gave new life to me when he said, "Son, I forgive you. I forgive you that breaking of my word that you have just done. And I promise that you are my son, no matter what." The Apostle Paul considered himself to be the spiritual father of the believers in Corinth. As their spiritual father, there were times when he laid down the letter of the law because they needed it, and it was for their own good. But even more so, Paul considered himself as their spiritual father, a servant and minister of the Spirit who gives life. Even more so with the Corinthians, as he was with all his spiritual children, the Apostle Paul was primarily a preacher of the gospel, a preacher who was a spokesman for the Holy Spirit, who gives life and the forgiveness of sins through the word of Christ. Paul was very competent in that work, but he realized that his competency and that of the other apostles was not of himself. And so he wrote these words just before our text, not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything. Or rather, in our text, he writes, not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competency comes from God. In this portion of his letter to the 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul writes about two distinct but equally glorious covenants. We see first that the Spirit uses the new covenant to give life, and secondly, that the letter of the old covenant delivers death. As Orthodox Lutheran Christians, we are primarily preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the spirit of life, the spirit that gives life, that predominates our preaching. God so loved us that he sent his one and only Son into this world. And by his innocent life and sacrificial death, we are forgiven all of our sins. That Son is Jesus Christ. It is through that message of Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit gives us new life. As Paul writes to the Ephesians, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ. Paul saw himself primarily as a preacher of that Spirit of life. Just before our text, Paul wrote these words, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him." That sweet-smelling savor of the knowledge of Jesus Christ is a glorious covenant. It is a glorious teaching of the gospel. That is the gospel ministry that God has entrusted to you and to me. The gospel does not condemn sinners. The gospel saves sinners. The gospel is not the letter that kills. The gospel has the Spirit who gives life. The gospel does not point us to our vain and useless efforts to be saved by our own righteousness. But through the gospel, the Spirit imputes to us the righteousness of Christ, His perfect obedience of the commandments. This glory, the glory of Jesus Christ, never fades away. It lasts through all eternity. We will see the glory of our forgiveness not only in the face of Christ now through the gospel, but in eternity as we live and reign with our brother forever and ever. What could be more challenging beyond our abilities than any competence in being ministers or servants of the Spirit who gives life? We are totally inept of ourselves. And thank God that our ineptness does not negate the message of that saving truth of Christ. You and I have that glorious gospel ministry of the Holy Spirit as He works in word and sacrament to give us new life. It is not our ministry to take care of. It is not our ministry that succeeds. It is that ministry of the Holy Spirit. The NIV translates that gospel here as a covenant. It is a unique and glorious covenant. And that word's okay if we understand that a covenant is not always bilateral. A covenant does not always have to be agreed upon by two sides. The covenant of the ministry of the Spirit that gives life is a unilateral covenant. It comes from God to us. There is nothing that we contribute, even our faith. We don't even contribute our faith that holds that covenant, because that's the work of the Spirit through the gospel. I'll suggest that a little better word here could be testament. Because that certainly is one-sided, isn't it? Someone's last will and testament is their singular decree to their heirs. The gospel of Jesus Christ is God's testament of life. Because of my Son's perfect obedience, because of my Son's sacrificial death, you will live. You live and have new life in Him. It is that strong word that makes us righteous in God's sight. We just sang that, didn't we, in our sermon hymn. Remember those words? Thy strong word bespeaks us righteous, bright with thine own holiness. The word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, bespeaks us, declares us holy as it gives us that radiant glory of the righteousness of Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a unique and glorious covenant and testament. that we are privileged to share. But it is not the only glorious covenant. It's not the only unique covenant or uniquely glorious covenant. Paul writes about another covenant that is glorious, and or that is equally glorious, although it is surpassed by the glory of the gospel. And that other covenant is the covenant of the letter that kills. The covenant of the letter that deals death. Paul is talking about the law that God gave to Moses on Mount Sinai. The old covenant. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai, his face glowed in the radiance of that covenant that God had given him. Because the covenant, the law, there was bilateral. It was an expression of God's will. It was a command to do something. And it was carved in stone. But it was still glorious because it came from God. It was still glorious because it is an expression of His holy will. But the glory of the letter began to fade from Moses' face. And as the promise of Jesus Christ was fulfilled, the gospel of the letter of the old covenant began to fade under its light. Think of having a flashlight or a bright searchlight shining out into the dark. But then when the dawning sun rises, the light of the spotlight is still shining, isn't it? But its brightness has been surpassed by the brightness of the sun. The law, the letter that kills, is glorious. But its glory has been surpassed and is surpassed by the glory of the gospel. We read in Exodus 34, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. In fact, Paul refers to that incident, doesn't he, in our text. This testament brought death to the people because they could not keep that their end of the covenant, just like we can't. And so that letter kills. But it was carved in stone. It was glorious. It was God's will. And yet now Paul writes, for what was glorious. Now notice he doesn't say it's not glorious anymore. He says, for what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. So there are still two equal glories. Two distinct but equally glorious covenants. The law is still glorious, even though the letter no longer kills us, because it killed Jesus. The letter of the law, that it must be obeyed, no longer kills us who disobey it, because it killed Jesus who obeyed it perfectly. And because He did that, God declares that we have kept the law perfectly. But the law is still glorious because it comes from God. We still use it as a mirror, as a curb, as a guide. But it has been surpassed by the glory of our Savior Jesus Christ, in whom we have that new life when we were dead in our transgressions. The Holy Spirit brought most of us to that new life when we were baptized. He reinvigorates and restores and renews that new life to us constantly through the preaching of the gospel and through the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. John writes in his gospel, "For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Jesus outshines Moses because Jesus is the gospel and Moses brought the law. The ceremonial law was glorious in its day, but it's been surpassed by the glory of Christ. The civil law was glorious in Israel, but it was surpassed by the glory of our freedom in the life that we have in Christ. The moral law is still glorious. It doesn't kill us, but it still guides us. It still shows us our sin, still curbs our sinful nature. We are primarily servants of the Spirit who gives life. Maybe some of you saw it. When I went to the state fair last week, the Seventh-day Adventists had a display in one of the exhibition buildings. Did any of you see that? And what was it a display of? The law. It was a display of the tabernacle. It was a display of Moses. That was all glorious in its day. That was all glorious in its part in the plan of salvation for Israel. They would have been better served to have had a cross or an empty tomb, because the glory of Jesus Christ and His sacrifice and His resurrection far outshines the law. The law is still glorious. The law still has a lesson for us. But we do not emphasize the law, glorious as it is, and still use it. We are ministers of the new covenant. We are ministers of the Spirit who gives life because it is more radiant in comparison. And so, with the apostle, we exclaim and preach and trust, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts. Amen.